The Spell Shop by Sarah Beth Durst. Read for you by Caitlin Davies. Chapter 1. Keela never thought the flames would reach the library. She was dimly aware that most of the other librarians had fled weeks ago, when the revolutionaries took the palace and defenestrated the emperor in a rather dramatic display. But surely they wouldn't touch the library. After all, there were books here. Highly flammable, irreplaceable books. The great library of Elysium, with its soaring spires, stained glass windows, and labyrinthine bookshelves, was the jewel of the Crescent Islands Empire. Its hallowed stacks were filled with centuries-old treatises, histories, studies, and, most importantly, in Keela's opinion, spellbooks. Only the elite, the creme de la creme of the scholars, were allowed to even view the spellbooks, as only the rarefied few were permitted, by imperial law, to use magic. She was responsible for the spellbooks on the third floor, East Wing. For the past 11 years, she'd worked, slept, ate, and lived between the shelves, which perhaps explained why, when she first smelled smoke, she thought she'd simply left toast on the cook plate. Just to be on the safe side, earlier in the week, Keela and her assistant, Kaz, had begun securing some of her favorite tomes and crates and stowing them on one of the library boats, though she'd never truly believed evacuation would be necessary. Cocooned within the stacks, far away from any whiff of politics or violence, it was a pleasant game. If she were stranded on a deserted island, which books would she most want to have with her? Certainly the grimoire on plant work, compiled in the year 357 by scholars Massembi and Kanan, as well as The Manipulation of Weather Patterns, a study of the effects of spell work on the breeding habits of eastern puffins, which was a fascinating and groundbreaking work that— Kaz swung by his leaves into the aisle where she sat, cross-legged, in front of a pile of books. A spider plant, he was roughly the size of a farm dog, but comprised entirely of greenery, with a knot of roots holding soil at his core. He was the smartest assistant she'd ever had, though also, perhaps not coincidentally, the most anxiety-prone.
"We're going to die,"
he informed her, his leaves rustling so badly that it was challenging to pluck out the words. "The fighting won't come here," Keela said in the soothing voice she'd perfected after years of working in such a sacred space. She added another book to the pack in the fifth crate pile, then reconsidered and shifted it to the pack only if it fits pile. He shook his leaves at her.
"The fighting is already here! They've battered down the front door and are ransacking Kinney Hall!"
Goodness! The door to Kinney Hall was a monstrosity, built of brass and secured with bolts made of the sturdy lumber used for the ribs of ship hulls. She tried to calculate the amount of force required to batter down a 30-foot door, then blinked. "Ransacking, did you say?" She'd expected the rebels to secure the library and its treasures. That was only sensible. But ransacking? These were freedom fighters, not feral animals. She wasn't even opposed to their goals. On Kaz's recommendation, she'd read a few of their pamphlets in the early days of the revolution, and the call for elections and the sharing of knowledge seemed quite appealing.
"The North Reading Room is on fire," Kaz said. "They lit the tapestries first, and it spread to the scrolls."
She felt sick. "All those old manuscripts." He tugged on her sleeve with a leaf.
"Come on, Keela, we have to leave."
"Leave? Now?" But she hadn't finished.
"If you make a leave leaf joke," Kaz warned, "I'm going without you."
She got to her feet. The fifth crate was only half filled. Keela dumped an armload of books into it without even checking what the titles were.
"Enough, Keela!"
Kaz said as she went for a second armload, and then maneuvered it toward the lift. On wheels, it scooted between the shelves, and she felt a lurch in her stomach as they passed all the full shelves of beautiful, wonderful books. She snagged a few more favorites as they hurried past. Reaching the lift, she shoved the wheeled crate inside and yanked down the gate. Kaz pushed the button with a leaf and turned the crank. The lift lurched and then descended. As they